Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions Podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecap when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview one of the Detroit Lions' divisional opponents. We're going to preview the NFC North, taking a closer look at the Minnesota Vikings with a guest who covers the franchise. We do a dive into the Minnesota roster, hear thoughts on the Detroit Lions from a division rival, and discuss their projected NFC North standings. Information that will help you fully prepare for the 2024 NFL season. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey, this is Rob Rubick, former Detroit Lion. Hey, you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Joining me today is Ren Clayton, reporter for WCCO-TV, the CBS affiliate out of Minneapolis. He's covered the Vikings for multiple seasons, and we're lucky enough to have him on here to help Lions fans learn a little bit more about a key division rival. Thanks for joining the show, Ren.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
It's going to be an exciting year. I think the NFC North is shaping up to be potentially one of the tougher divisions in football. A quick recap from last year: Lions finished 12-5. The Packers were 9-8. The Vikings and the Bears were both 7-10. I've got to say, it was pretty close to where I thought it was going to end up last year. The Vikings again finished tied with the Bears, but they did so after losing Kirk Cousins due to injury and having to play with a host of different guys under the center to finish out the season. So let's just start right there, Ren. How were Vikings fans feeling as the season came to an end, even though they finished 7-10, considering all the changeover under center?
The Vikings fans were feeling, as they often do, I feel, at the end of seasons, disappointed, high expectations coming in, and perhaps overreactions to some things that, I mean, you know, they went on that like 5-game winning streak in the middle of the season. I think they won one more after Cousins, in that streak after Cousins was injured. But after they'd started so poorly to start the season, they lost the first several games. Then they went on the streak and fans were, you know, they were down and they were up big and probably up too big, right? And then there's always the feeling that Minnesota sports fans have where it's like, we can't have nice things. We're cursed. Why does this always happen to us? So the Kirk Cousins injury as they were getting hot on the field was a all too familiar feeling. I feel there's been a lot of quarterback, as you know, and we'll probably talk about in a little bit, quarterback issues, quarterback injuries, devastating ones to Vikings fans. So after the season ended, and as you know, what, the last three games of the season, two of them were against your Lions, and that both times it kind of delivered blows to the Vikings playoff hopes. In week 16 and week 18. So by the time the season ended, I think it wasn't a big surprise they didn't make the playoffs. But coming into the season last year, there were big high expectations because of how the previous season had gone with Kevin O'Connell and just how successful they were winning all those close games in dramatic ways. So there was disappointment for sure coming out of last year. And then they just were sitting at home watching the Lions make a run.
Yeah, I can understand a lot of those emotions. It was a roller coaster of a season for the Vikings, for sure. I mean, as a division rival, we were watching and paying close attention as well. Well, let's talk about some key transactions that happened this offseason. Starting with free agency, there's a loss of Kirk Cousins. Danielle Hunter leaves. I believe Alexander Mattison, who was a starting running back last year, is gone. Some additions: Aaron Jones comes in. Sam Darnold comes in. You know, Jonathan Grenard comes in from Houston with a 4-year, $72 million deal. I think most people are considering him to be a replacement for Hunter. And the Vikings made a host of other additions, too. And then if you look at the draft, you know, they drafted J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback out of Michigan, number 10. Dallas Turner, the edge out of Alabama, another first-round pick. They also drafted defensive back Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon and in the fourth round, and we're going to talk about him and that tragedy that happened this summer. So there's a lot to unpack from the Vikings this offseason, it feels like. And I guess The exit of Kirk Cousins is what we have to start with. He was a quarterback there for 6 years. It was basically a known quantity there. So What was the view of the Vikings fans' perspective? And how do you think the players felt when it became evident that Kirk Cousins was leaving before anything else was known?
As for the fans, I think he had gained over the past couple of years a huge fandom and following. Early in his tenure as a Viking, it definitely probably wasn't that way. And gradually, and especially the past two seasons, when he really started to come out of his shell and he was much more open and he showed his personality. We obviously saw the Netflix show, which I think helped him kind of see how he wanted to maybe portray himself. And now he's everywhere, right? You see his face on everything and doing whatever he's doing. And there was a lot of fans. You talk to, you know, kids and stuff and Vikings fans. It's always Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins. Obviously, Justin Jefferson is every kid's, you know, favorite player, regardless of if you're in Minnesota or not. But Kirk Cousins really gained a lot of followers, I guess you could say, just a lot of people that really liked him and how consistent he was. That was his big thing, right? He wasn't necessarily flashy, but he would get the ball to the playmakers, the Justin Jeffersons, the Jordan Addisons, the Adam Thielen before that. And so when he left, people were disappointed for sure. Now, I think it's probably similar in your neck of the woods, where when they saw the dollar amount that he got, they're like, well, yeah, we can't blame the Wilfs who own the Vikings, or, you know, Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, who's the GM, for not giving him that money, because a lot of people think that was, and not just here, I think a lot of people think that was crazy money, which is like a lot of people I've talked to, they say, if you're the Vikings fans that like Kirk, they're like, well, you know, more power to him if he's able to, you know, somehow finagle that deal. And some people say, you know, he hasn't won a lot in the playoffs, but he still is getting paid like no other. People were, you know, sad to see it. And then they quickly transitioned to what's next. And we'll talk about that a little bit with Sam Darnold and then McCarthy as well.
All right. And so was there a thought, do you think, or a feeling, do you know, that, you know, there were high expectations going into last year off that previous season? Was there a fear from Vikings fans, or maybe even from the coaching staff and the players, that there might be a step backwards with whoever comes under center? Because you didn't know at that point who was going to be available, what was going to happen. Was there that fear at all? Or was there kind of a, you know what, we're ready for what's next, let's just embrace it?
I think there's a realistic people, whether you're a fan or around the team, I think there was a realistic kind of reality check where you're like, yeah, it's hard not to take a step back if you lose Kirk Cousins and some of the other players, Danielle Hunter, if you know your defense gets a little depleted with some veterans that left too. I don't think people were expecting JJ McCarthy to come in and you know, make a huge playoff run or something like that. Now, the Sam Darnold deal happened really quickly after the Kirk Cousins one, and this is obviously a bridge quarterback, even though the Vikings refused to say it. It's a one-year deal. No one expected him to be on the team in 2025. Now, obviously, a wrench has been thrown in with McCarthy's injury, but people were trying to get, you know, excited about Sam Darnold and still are, and they probably have a right to be, though you have to temper that because he has never done anything in the league before. He's been on some bad teams, which is the obvious rebuttal, but he's, what, 27, and he hasn't really, he's bounced around and struggled, so he's looked good in camp. He's gotten rave reviews from coaches, but that's what they always say. And so we'll just kind of see as far as that goes, as the Sam Darnold era begins, and it's probably just for 1 year.
All right. That makes sense. We'll actually get a little bit more into some of those observations you've got on Darnold. Let's move to the draft picks, right? There's a lot of excitement about the draft picks, but let's start with the saddest news that happened was the tragedy back in July when Kyree Jackson was killed in that automobile crash. He was so new to the team, but it seemed like he was already making an impression on the organization. You know, at the first home game of the season, which was a preseason game, they honored him, and his brother Colston served as an honorary captain for that game, and they had a moment of silence. And so I'm wondering, how have the coaches and players been since then?
Yeah, it was interesting when he was signed, or when he was drafted, that night they did a little Zoom availability with him, you know, talking to the media, and his story was already so unique. And so media kind of got interested in him right away. He was, you know, he talked about how he was the employee of the week at a grocery store for, you know, cutting meats and stuff like that. And he wanted to play or compete in professional video games at one point. And so his journey, and he bounced around different colleges. His journey was super unique. And the players in mini camp and rookie camp, they had really gotten to know him fast, it seemed. That's what they kept telling us, is he had already, won over a whole bunch of his teammates, even in just a few weeks, his coaches as well. Dallas Turner, who you mentioned, who's the first round pick from Alabama, he was a teammate of him. I think Jackson was on the Crimson Tide for 1 or 2 years before he transferred out to Oregon, but and so they knew each other, and Dallas Turner was really upset about it. He had talked about that to the media. And Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator, has continued to say multiple times that he's still working through it, and that he struggled a lot when it happened, and he had gotten to know him really well. And of course, Kevin O'Connell saying the same thing. Flores, O'Connell, Turner, and some other Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, some other members as well, went to the funeral in Maryland, just for one day, and then came back on a Friday. That was early. That was the first week of training camp, which is a big schedule. Kind of, it's a big thing to go out of your way in this pivotal time of the season when you're trying to essentially start your team, start your season. And yeah, people are really impacted. He's going to have a patch on the helmet, and he's going to be at the facility in Eagan. There's already like there's a big KJ in the grass, so his presence, I think, will be felt throughout the season.
I appreciate that insight. Yeah, even one of the Detroit Lions players, Jamison Williams, who played with Kyrie over in Alabama, he also, I believe, flew out and went to the funeral as well. So thank you for that insight, Ren, and just helping understand the listeners understand the impact that he made in such a short time with the Vikings organization. If we move back to the biggest change, that is the area at quarterback under center. No more Kirk Cousins. Everyone got pretty excited with the J.J. McCarthy draft. People here in Michigan were kind of confused because you loved him from Michigan, but you can't root for him with the Vikings because he's a rival of the Lions. He had an exciting debut, but as everybody knows, he's had the season-ending surgery after the injury, and it is a Sam Darnold show now. Now, I understand that expectations are extremely tempered at this point. But I do have one of my best friends is a Minnesota Vikings fan, and I continue to point out how competitive the Vikings were the last 5 weeks of the season with like three different guys under center, and I do feel like they have made some improvements to the team. So I don't want to, go in and think the Vikings are going to be way worse than last year, but let's just start with quarterback. I know Sam Darnold has had a mixed reaction because there are people in certain circles who really build this guy up, but as you said, when we see the results on the field, they've left something to be desired. So how is Sam Darnold looking, and how's the team kind of reacting to him?
The Sam Darnold question is interesting. I would say, just from what I've seen, is that he's looked good. He obviously didn't play in the last preseason game, week two of the preseason. He played in week one, just one drive, looked pretty good, threw a touchdown. In camp, he's gotten most of the reps with the ones, and even when McCarthy was healthy, it was mostly Sam Darnold. And they had alluded to the fact that they may try to split it more evenly as camp went on. That didn't have to play out. Kevin O'Connell, I'm a believer in Kevin O'Connell's ability to coach up and mentor quarterbacks. And he definitely thinks that that's something that he takes a lot of pride in. We saw it with Josh Dobbs, the hop off the plane and get on the field, and I'll tell you exactly what to do in your ear until the mic goes off in the helmet. And that first game, and how crazy that was, the success they saw, until it stopped a couple of weeks later. So I think Kevin O'Connell is going to, I'm confident in predicting that Sam Darnold will have maybe the best season of his career. That's not necessarily saying much, because he hasn't had a great season, or even like necessarily a good NFL season. So I'm confident that Kevin O'Connell will get a lot out of Sam Darnold. Now, I just don't know what that ceiling is. It's hard to say. It's an unknown quantity. He has looked pretty good. He's very open when he's talking to the media and talking about his development and studying and things that he does. The deep ball has looked surprisingly good, surprisingly fast, because oftentimes people talk about how that's something that takes a while, especially to gain chemistry with new people, new receivers. It helps he has Justin Jefferson, who's the best in the world. But Sam Darnold for one season, could be a in maybe a best case scenario, just not the reason that that they struggle, right? He could be medium, I think, or you know, and he, my kind of guess is he'll have some not so good games and some pretty good games and some mixed in the middle.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, well, let's talk about the guys that he's going to be throwing the ball to. You know, along with Amon-Ra St. Brown this summer, Lions fans got to see Justin Jefferson in receiver, and that was awesome. You know, I talked about Kirk Cousins with quarterback. Justin Jefferson, I think, won over a bunch of fans this summer as well, and he's considered, you know, one of the best, if not the best, receiver in the NFL right now. He got his new contract. I guess the big question is, how's the rest of the receiving core looking? You've got Jefferson, but then you've got Addison and Osborne as the next two best receivers last year, and I believe Osborne's gone, so there's a spot to fill there. I also know that Jordan Addison was arrested this summer, and so I'm not sure if that's going to affect things at all with his availability to start the season. And Jalen Naylor might be a guy we see a little bit more of this year, but how's the receiving room rounding out, and how encouraged are you by what potential is there?
Yeah, I think if we talk about the overall Vikings team and roster, and you look at the receiver room and you look at the top two and you say that's probably one of the better top twos in the NFL. And the big question you mentioned is, will Jordan Addison be suspended? Right now he's dealing with a little ankle thing, but supposedly that's not going to affect week one. The thing that could is a suspension, and I just don't see it happening as early as week one because nothing's happened in so long. They, you know, they told us when they first talked about, you know, he had a suspicion of DUI in LA. That's what he got arrested for right before camp started, like a week before. And so we know from watching the NFL for years is they take a while and they take their time. And we even seeing with the Kansas City situation with Rashee Rice, that Rice might not be suspended until next season. And that could be the same with Addison. I just don't know. And the legal proceeding would have to even come before where the NFL thing comes down. So let's just say that Addison and Jefferson play the whole season. We've saw Addison in his first year. This is just his second year now. He played super well, especially when Jefferson was out. As for the number three job, which is a big storyline in camp, and Jalen Naylor to me is the guy, and I think most everyone has seen it. He has dealt with some injuries in the past. He's been around the team for a few years now, but he's playing really well, and he's played well in the preseason, and he's looked good. And he was probably the front runner coming in to replace, you know, a Michigan guy, KJ Osborne, who's now with the New England Patriots. And then there's some other guys too. Brandon Powell played last year. He's a smaller guy, more physical guy, doing kind of some of the dirty work. He also returns punts. So he's probably going to make the team in that wide receiver room. And then another guy I like is a veteran who was just brought in is Trent Sherfield Jr. He's had a good camp as well. And you can't forget about Tristan Jackson, who's had two touchdowns in the preseason as well.
All right. Well, in addition to helping the receivers helping the quarterback, the other thing that helps every quarterback is a good running game. And it seemed like the Vikings were lacking some of that last year. They had made a big addition at running back with this little NFC North running back carousel that's taken place. But Aaron Jones is now on the roster to go along with Ty Chandler. And so I'm wondering, how much do you think that's going to help? Is Jones, you know, is he an upgrade? Is he an improvement from Madison? They had similar numbers last year in yards gained, but Jones had 4.6 yards per carry. Madison had 3.9. Now, there's a number of factors that go in there. I myself have always thought that Madison worked best in a complementary backup role to Dalvin Cook versus being the guy who was front and center. But I guess, how do you like Jones's fit in this offense? And do you think it's going to be an improvement from last year?
In short, I think it will be an improvement. The big factor that could play a role in that not coming true is his age. You know, Aaron Jones will turn 30 in December, which is like as old as Santa Claus in running back speak in the NFL. But I do think he will be an upgrade. We've seen how productive he's been in this division for years with the Packers. And it was disappointing for a lot of people around the team, Alexander Madison's year last year. It just was not good. He was given finally, you know, his chance to be the one, and it just didn't pan out. And in certain games, it was really weird last year too, where they ran the ball like so few times, and that maybe was just, you know, game script and things like that. But I'm confident that they want to be a more balanced team. It'll obviously be pass first with the talent they have at receiver, but Aaron Jones, a veteran back there, obviously a big part of that was to have an old guy who's seen everything and maybe be around when JJ McCarthy comes in midway in the season, if that's the idea. Obviously that won't happen. And then Ty Chandler, he's gotten better every year. A lot of people really like him. He's fast, especially on the outside. He can hit holes with speed. He's not the biggest guy, but a lot of people really like him. And some people think that, you know, he's the next guy after this season. We'll see. And then Kanae Wongwu too. He was injured most last year. He used to be a really special kick returner to watch. We don't know how kick returns are going to go this year, but he's healthy now and he's gotten a lot more reps, especially in the preseason, and looked pretty good at the running back spot.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for that insight. It's going to be interesting to watch and see how these guys take shape with this offense. The other part of the skill positions is tight end. Obviously, TJ Hockenson had that injury that ended his season last year. He's still recovering from that. Is there a timetable on his return and his rehab? Is it on schedule? And is Josh Oliver likely the guy that's going to be playing tight end in his place? And how will that affect the offense?
Yeah, your old friend, right? TJ Hockenson from the Lions. We've seen him at camp a lot, but he's never with the team and he's never in pads, right? He's still, you know, trying to make his way back. We've seen him, you know, doing little ladder drills and stretching and work and lifting weights a little bit in street clothes. And they haven't really given us an update in a long time. He's still on the PUP, physically unable to perform list. And the thought is that he'll miss the first few games, but what his first few means, I'm not exactly sure. Is it interesting how the Vikings schedule breaks down? They have an early bye week. So is that something, if he's not progressing quite as fast, is that something they wait until it's after that? And then, you know, the game right after the bye week is against the Detroit Lions. So we'll see if that is maybe a kind of a coincidence of timing. I think they want him to come back well before, you know, that week 7, which that would be. We were listening to Kevin O'Connell talk, I think it was last week, and he was talking about how he's being teased by seeing TJ Hockenson out there. Kevin O'Connell, he's a big offensive guy, right? He loves the play calling. He loves play designing and all that, and playing with the toys he has, right? Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson, who can kind of do everything. And he was joking to the media and talking about how he was talking to, I think, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the GM, is just like, this is a tease for me. And then he was talking to Hockenson and saying, well, what can you do? Maybe you can just do one or two plays and we'll put you in. And so he wants to get him back out there. They said it's going well the last time they talked to us about his progression, but we just don't know. As for the other guys who were filling spots, Robert Tonyan was brought in, a longtime Packers tight end. And he was looking to be the guy that he had so much experience and he had proven himself in this league. And he was looking to be the guy that could have filled that spot, maybe be the starting tight end. He left a couple weeks ago with back spasms from practice, and it's kind of been slower going to return, it seems, for him with that. So we'll see what his status is when week 1 comes around. He hasn't played in the preseason, but he's a veteran, probably doesn't really need to. Josh Oliver, I still feel like he's more of a blocking guy, but we've seen him catch passes. N'Keal Harry is a receiver turned tight end now with the Vikings. He came in as a receiver. He's a big guy. And then Jonathan Munt is a guy that came with Kevin O'Connell when he arrived here from the LA Rams, and he always has a backup role and they really like him. So I can't imagine him being cut or put to the practice squad. So they have a lot of guys. Nick Muse is another guy that probably be a practice squatter. But we'll see how that pans out. And they may just go no tight end set sometimes with all the receivers they have.
All right. Well, we did mention they've got a lot of different weapons on offense for Kevin O'Connell to use, but none of that matters if there's not blocking for the running backs to get lanes or time for Sam Darnold to throw the ball. So in general, how's the offensive line for the Vikings looking this year?
It's always a question, and it's interesting this year because they have so much year-to-year-to-year continuity this year. All the guys are back for the most part. They just signed Christian Darrisaw to a massive deal, the blindside guy, probably one of the best left tackles in football. They still have Brian O'Neill on the other side in the right tackle position and Garrett Bradbury at center. They just have a lot of cohesion and guys that know each other really well. I wouldn't say it's a great offensive line, but they have some strengths and some and a lot of veterans. And so, like, we struggled at times. You can't, especially inside the guard position, struggle at times. Dalton Reisner came in. Ed Ingram had an up and down year, and he's not necessarily having a great camp. He's the right guard. And so we'll see how it pans out. They're strong at the tackle position, and inside is more of a question mark.
Okay. Well, the offense overall ranked 22nd in scoring points last year in the NFL. Are you expecting the Vikings to be right around that spot, or do you think they might make an improvement from there or come in below that spot? Where, if you were to guess, where do you think they're going to end up?
Yeah, I would probably guess middling and probably right around that spot. It's just hard to have tons of high expectations with all the turnover they have. I mean, just specifically at the cornerback position or the quarterback position. We just don't know what Sam Darnold's going to do and how productive he's going to be. Yes, there will be a lot of touchdowns to Justin Jefferson. It's hard not to, but I'm not super bullish on a massive point gathering season.
Understandably so. I don't blame you for that, but I just kind of want to know where you were thinking. And like you said, there's a lot of unknown, so a lot can happen. Well, then let's move over to the defense. You know, Grenard was a big signing. Stephon Gilmore, defensive back, was just recently brought in. The team saw some big improvement under Brian Flores last year on the defensive side of the ball. What's expected of the defense this year, and what do you think is going to be the strength of the defense?
It's interesting because when you lose a guy like Danielle Hunter, it's impossible to replace him, right? He's an all-pro. He's just been dominant for so long and still was really good last year as far as racking up sacks. And so I remember we talked to Jonathan Grenard when he was first brought in pretty quickly after Danielle Hunter was left in free agency. And Grenard, or JG as he calls himself, he said multiple times, you know, I'm not trying to replace Danielle Hunter. Of course, you don't want to put those huge expectations on yourself. Now, in a certain sense, he is. But Flores has also talked about how he wants it to be a committee. And Flores loves to run out different rotations and combos and stuff. And so now there's a whole bunch of pass rushers. Maybe they're trying to go with quantity over quality, though there's a lot of quality, just not maybe to the level right now of Danielle Hunter. They brought in Van Ginkle from Miami. They obviously Dallas Turner has looked really good in camp. He's a young guy, right? The first round draft pick. And so we'll see if the combination of these pass rushers equals the same amount of pass rush production that the Vikings desire. It'll be interesting. The outside linebacker position is the one I'm most interested to watch. And that probably is their strength too, because I don't know if the defense is super stout in the back end. We know all about the cornerback issues they've had that we've partially talked about. And obviously Harrison Smith being back at safety, he's a future Hall of Famer, is a major boon for them, because a lot of the talk was that he might retire. And he didn't even know, he said, until he decided in the offseason. Safety position is not bad, but overall the secondary wasn't very good last year. And so that's still a question mark.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess that'd be the most vulnerable part on the defense is going to be that defensive secondary then at this point?
Yeah, I would say so. And even it looked a lot worse, though, about a week ago, because when Stephon Gilmore was signed, to me, that was a big indicator that the Vikings, I mean, they've never said they were, but like, they're really not punting on this season, right? You sign a guy for $10 million right before, like two and a half weeks before the season starts. And he, you know, this is another future Hall of Famer, and it makes the cornerback room that was looking like the glaring weakness of the team into maybe like one of the strengths if everything goes out to according to plan. Shaq Griffin was brought in free agency, but he's been injured with a hammy, and he's just this week started to get more involved in practice, and so it could be them, Shaq Griffin and Stephon Gilmore as the corners, and then Byron Murphy still exists too, and he could be one of those guys, or he could be like the nickel, which I think is what he probably is more suited to play. But the cornerback position looks a lot better. There's still a lot of question marks as far as the depth there. They have had some injuries. Mekhi Blackman, who was thought to maybe win a job, he tore his ACL on the first day of training camp. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. They're veteran at the safety position. We know this, right, with Cam Bynum and Harrison Smith. And then Josh Metellus, who's like a rover utility man, who is a very good safety as well, but he can play everywhere, except for he doesn't really play much corner. And so it'll just be interesting to really see how that pans out. First game back, I think, is something to watch, is what does the Vikings secondary look like?
All right, well, there's been a lot of moving parts in the secondary, as you said, and the defense overall. But the good news is, for you guys, is that Brian Flores is now in his second year there, so anybody that's been there knows the system that much more. And if I look last year, the Vikings defense ranked number 14 in points allowed, which the Lions would have been happy with that. The Lions were at 23rd last year with points allowed. Do you think the Vikings are going to hold up to that this year, you know, be in the top half of the league defensively allowing points, or do you think that might change?
It was interesting when Flores came in and people were starting to learn his system, and players quickly were raving about, you know, the way he deals with them as far as like what they're allowed to do and the freedom they're allowed to have. And yeah, that played itself out to a much improved defense from what was not great the year before that. And so you can only imagine that it'll be a little bit improved as far as system continuity. Even though there has been turnover, Flores brought in guys that he knows works with what he wants to do. Like I said, who are positionally flexible, the Grenards and the Van Ginkles, they can move around. And so, yeah, I think it'll be right around there. Or maybe a little bit better. Like I said, they did lose a couple of veterans. We didn't talk about Jordan Hicks yet, the inside linebacker who left. He's now with the Browns. And of course, Hunter. So yeah, maybe it's just more parity, if that's the word you want to use, more even, and not as use the Danielle Hunter example, like just the talent's so high, then maybe the depth isn't quite as good. Maybe the depth is a little bit better this year.
All right, well, let's do a little scouting right now, a little scouting report. Where are the Vikings in general going to be strong this year? What's going to be like the area of the team that is the best or the strongest? And then what area might be the weakness?
That's interesting. I think you have to go to receiving the pass catchers. Hockenson will come back probably at least in the first half of the season, sometime there. And then when you look at the pass catchers, it's scary, right? Justin Jefferson, who I think is the best receiver in football, and Jordan Addison, who is quickly climbing the ranks of receivers in the league in just one season, now entering his sophomore campaign. The weapons that Sam Darnold will have an opportunity to throw to with Hockenson, and Aaron Jones is a good pass catcher out of the backfield. I think the pass catching and the pass game, even though it is Sam Darnold, we don't know what's going to happen. I think that'll statistically be a good, it'll be high up there in the rankings and the leaders as far as NBA stats, even if maybe Sam Darnold isn't having a great season. Like, even if he's throwing some interceptions or making mistakes, it's hard not to have that still be one of the best and strengths of the team. Now, like I said, I guess I kind of alluded to it before, but, yeah, I think the secondary is probably one of the biggest question mark and maybe one of the biggest weaknesses for the Vikings. And we'll see how it all goes. But I mean, Harrison Smith, you can say that's your best player, right? He's aging and he's been around. And even though he's had a Hall of Fame career, it's hard for him to just, you know, do it by himself and lift a roster that's maybe not as talented as he is. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out. But I do, like you said, think Brian Flores with another year will just have more time to do what he wants and be creative. And he's always talking about, you know, thinking about new plays and new ways to use guys. And just another year of that marinating with the players and the players he got can only help.
All right. Well, let's talk Lions now from the Vikings perspective. You know, Lions won the NFC North last year, first time in many years. And many, if not most, were expecting that to happen, though. So it really wasn't a shock. It kind of was like they took care of their business. How are Vikings fans viewing the Lions as we get ready to kick off the 2024 season?
I think, well, the NFC North looks good, right? Doesn't it? It looks better than I think we thought it would last year as we were entering last year, especially with the Lions and how deep they went and how many big wins they had. I'm not really exactly sure how Vikings fans perceive what they think they'll do, but Vikings fans don't have a lot of hate for the Lions like they do for the other two teams in the NFC North. I think that's pretty apparent, right? The Vikings fans hate the Packers, and they're not a big fan of the Bears either. And maybe it's because the Lions had so many years of struggles that I don't think there was a lot of bad blood seeing the Lions succeed last year. I think the Vikings the Vikings fans want to beat the Lions every time. And maybe last year's two late losses, maybe that was brought about some bad feelings that could come around again. But I think we're still early in that process for Vikings fans.
Yeah, I think I'm going to probably speak for a lot of Lions fans here and say the Vikings are far from enemy number one in the division when it comes to who we're looking at. It's the Packers, most likely. And then, you know, there is a big rivalry with Chicago, especially, you know, its proximity to the state of Michigan. And if you're on the west side down, you know, in the Grand Rapids area, there's a lot of transplants from Chicago in there as well. So, well, then let me ask you this. What part of the Lions team concerns you? Well, what part might be a challenge for the Vikings when they face off later this season, potentially?
I think the Vikings run defense has to be worried about stopping the Lions run game. I mean, we know Jahmyr Gibbs looked so good last year, and the Lions O-line is so good too. And that, I think it was a little bit of a problem last year for the Vikings, and it's interesting inside and the D line, and they have Harrison Phillips and then a whole bunch of unknowns really. And they have a lot of movement there. You know, they play a 3-4, so it's a lot of rotational things. And so that has to be probably, if I were them, is what they would be looking at. They have that bye week leading up to game plan the Lions game, but I think that's going to be one of the big things is stop the run game and Jahmyr Gibbs.
All right. Yeah, actually, a lot of us were thinking that might have been the first week we saw J.J. McCarthy was coming out of the bye. But, I mean, if he had been healthy the way he started looking in camp, who knows? He might have been named starter day one. So, well, let's turn this around then. Where do you think the Vikings might find the most success against the Lions? What can they do well against Detroit, you think, this year when they match up?
That's a good question. I just like the Lions matchup against the Vikings. It's hard to really see somewhere where the Vikings can just dive in and have a major advantage. I did want to say, Frank Ragnow, I played in-house baseball with him one season back in Chanhassen, Minnesota. This was probably, 2010. And it's just crazy to see the success he's had with Arkansas and then with the Lions and becoming maybe the best center in the NFL. What has he been like to cover?
Oh, man, Frank Ragnow. It's interesting that you'd bring that name to me because I actually the football coach at my school where I work, in addition to doing this, is from the Chicago area. So he's a Bears fan. And you know, his wife actually just got an autographed mini helmet of Frank Ragnow, and she said, "Well, you can give it to one of your football players." And he goes, "Oh, I know exactly who this is going to." And he gave it to me, and I'm like, "To Frank Ragnow, that guy is just—he is tough." And you know, I'm excited that he is there. And every guy on that offensive line last year, you know, played a pivotal role, and the toughness that he has, because he's been banged up, and you know, he's played through stuff that I think a lot of people might not play through. So that's just darn impressive. I mean, I think the joke was, what are they going to put on the injury report this week for him? And he's still going to go out and get the job done. So that's really cool. You had that experience with him so many years ago.
Yeah. I know a lot of people that know him too. He seems like such a good guy. We know about his story. With everything he's been through and when he was in college and now like he's like an all pro, which is super cool to see. I did want to say, Goff, I think maybe just the veteran savvy that he has is somewhere where the Vikings might worry. Like we talked about Jahmyr Gibbs, but that like, you know, when a Caleb Evans is out there playing the four cornerback spot, is that somewhere where Goff is going to hone in and see the weakness? And that's probably another spot where the Vikings need to kind of figure out how that goes and shore up the cornerback play, or, you know, the scheme or the game plan.
All right. Well, let's talk division, right? The Vikings won it in 2022. The Lions won it in 2023. Do you have any feel for where this division's going to end up? You know, last year I picked the Lions to win it. I said the Packers would get second. I was fairly confident on that. And I said the Bears and Vikings would likely finish behind them. But I also thought those three teams would finish within two games of each other, which they actually did.
Yeah,
and
there's nicely always done.
Yeah, there's always a little bit of luck in your predictions. But this year, I don't know. I mean, there's variables, right? You know, if J.J. McCarthy was healthy, I'd be a little bit more bullish on the Vikings. But there's, you know, schedules are different. Personnel's different. Where do you think the Vikings going to finish this year in the division? And if you want to go through and give me your whole division, you can do that, or just the Vikings.
Well, okay. I'll give you briefly my whole division. I think, not to be a bummer on the Lions podcast, I think the Packers will win the division. I think they are trending so, so high. Like, I think Jordan Love could be like a sleeper MVP candidate with how he played at the last part and middle and last part of last season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an embarrassment of riches for the Packers. They just reload a great quarterback every decade, but it's just how it goes. It's a reality. And you have to imagine both those top two teams, the Lions and Green Bay, will make the playoffs. And then I don't see the other two making it. I've been saying 7 wins is kind of my guess for the Vikings, and I could see the Bears being right around there. I like Caleb Williams. If we're talking about the whole division, I don't think he's going to win a lot of games. I think he'll impress, but I think maybe his big season will be, you know, his sophomore season. So if I had to go in order, I'd probably say Packers, Lions, Vikings, Bears. But I don't think the Bears and Vikings will necessarily contend for a playoff spot.
Yeah, I have a feeling that the Vikings ceiling would be very different if J.J. McCarthy was healthy. Even though he's a rookie, that there's a bigger ceiling with him than Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know how much of an opportunity he was going to get. And that, to me, as a reporter, was one of the big intrigues of the season, is when is he going to come in? Is he going to come in? And what is the timing going to be? And how – there were so many questions that was going to be fun to follow, like – when was Sam Darnold going to get pulled? How big of a leash was Sam Darnold going to have? The Vikings schedule is pretty tough in the top end and weaker in the later end. So does Sam Darnold get a longer leash because of that? And so now we're just not going to experience that. What in Michigan were people really, you mentioned they had a hard time and some dissonance there because they don't want to root for him, but they do want to root for him. Were people really high on him playing and having a great year this year?
You know, the Michigan fans that I know are very high on J.J. McCarthy, and the Michigan State fans I know don't have much faith in J.J. McCarthy. Now, take that for what you will, and, you know, those Michigan State fans might have been sad to see him leave and go somewhere else, you know, Kirk Cousins leave. But, again, there is not the disdain for the Vikings the way there is for the Packers. So I think people were still okay with him going there. They just wouldn't have been too thrilled. You know, you can't root for them when they're playing against the Lions and stuff like that. But I do think a lot of Michigan fans have really high expectations of J.J. McCarthy in the NFL.
And now it's going to be interesting to see, like the timeline for his development. Is he just going to be the number one start or the starting quarterback next year? Probably, but what if Sam Darnold has a great season? Then do you sign him again? Or so there's a lot of questions that are just kind of kicked down the road now because of his injury.
That there is. Well, Ren, anything I haven't asked you'd like to add, talk about the Vikings or add to the NFC North?
I wanted to ask you what you think the Lions' biggest, if something was going to go wrong, or like maybe if my prediction was going to come true that they'll be a wild card team and not a divisional winner, why do you think that happens? What's maybe the thing you're worried about?
Well, I mean, the easiest thing to say for any NFL team is losing your starting quarterback, because that significantly changes everything. I would say, though, the biggest real concern for me is the Lions' depth at wide receiver right now. They've got a lot of different parts that are good between wide receiver, tight end, and running backs. And they've got guys that can play multiple positions. It's almost like positionless offense. But one thing the Lions have really struggled for is to find the tall, prototypical outside wide receiver. We tried a couple years ago with Trinity Benson. We tried last year with Denzel Mims. We've got Donovan Peoples-Jones in there right now, and they're still waiting to see, you know, if something's going to come from him. But so far in camp, he hasn't lived up to what they thought they might be getting from that guy a couple years ago in Cleveland. So I would say that is the biggest area of concern, and it's a depth area, because you look at our top two. I'm feeling good about our top two, just like you are for the Vikings. The secondary has a lot of new parts, and I think they're going to get better as the season goes on. So even if they don't look great right away, I think it's going to be an improving thing throughout the season.
How do you live up to that start in the opening night of last year? I mean, that was as high as you can get to start a week one.
Well, you schedule the former quarterback of the Detroit Lions to come back into Ford Field for the second time in about 8 months.
What do you expect that atmosphere to be like, just with all the momentum that was gained with a deep playoff run last year and then the opening week?
Well, I was at the game last year, and it was a wild card game. And I've said this on other shows. I've been to the Final Four in college basketball when Maryland won it, and I was a senior at Maryland. And I've been to a Stanley Cup game for the Red Wings when they won it. And, you know, I was there at game three, not game four when they won. But I've been to an Orange Bowl. I've been to some really big events, but that was like one of the top two. That might have been second to the Final Four. It was only a wild card game, but that atmosphere was different than any I've ever been to. I mean, it probably helped that it was like 0 degrees outside and everybody was in the stadium like an hour and a half before kickoff. And the Jared Goff chants that were just echoing throughout I couldn't believe it. It was fun to be a part of it. And so I'm expecting a very intense atmosphere. I think all those fans were on pins and needles because we hadn't won a playoff game in so long. And the last thing we needed was to lose the playoffs game to Matthew Stafford and the Rams, the team we made the trade with. And so the stakes aren't as high because it's game one of the season. Anything, you know, game one's game one. And every game, the game you're about to play is the most important game, but it's not win or go home at this point. So it will be a little different, but at the same time, you want to start the NFL season 1-0. And so there's that feeling. I've said I wish it was week four, or week five, because then the pressure's off a little bit and there's already some games in. But you don't know what to expect from either team. And, yeah, even though I'd like it a little bit later, I'm not surprised that it kicks off the season this way. It's going to be must-watch football, and I'm expecting a very good game because the Rams have also, you know, they've improved from where people thought they were going to be.
Yeah, and just to kind of emphasize or reiterate what I said earlier, that I remember watching that game on TV, the playoff game you're talking about, where the Lions finally get their first playoff win in forever. And a lot of people felt this way, but as far as the Minnesota people, I think they felt the same way, where that, like, you had goosebumps just seeing kind of the history and the atmosphere in that game. It's a friendly rivalry, maybe. That's the best way to sum it up.
Yeah, I think it is as well, so... Well, Ren, and that friendly rivalry is the Lions and Vikings friendly rivalry, not the Lions and Rams. I don't think that's a friendly rivalry. Awesome. Just want to clear that up. Well, Ren, thanks for joining me, sharing all those insight on the Minnesota Vikings. It's going to be an interesting year for the division, and it's going to be a very tough division. I still think the Vikings are going to be a very competitive team, even with all the changes they've gone through. Thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And again, folks, that's Ren Clayton, reporter for WCCO-TV, the CBS affiliate out of Minneapolis. Folks, we hope you've enjoyed the content from the Chicago Bears the other day and this one of the Minnesota Vikings. Be on the lookout tomorrow for one of the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North as we continue our tour around the division. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. Tell your friends and family about the show, like and comment on socials, and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, Stay gritty, my friends.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from JELD-WEN. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all JELD-WEN windows today. View our entire selection of JELD-WEN windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big.